Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from the streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight, an online radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute in reaching a national audience. Weekly topics focus on real issues confronting families and communities. Yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, is your host. We engage experts in various disciplines of study and individuals with varying experiences. Most importantly, you, the listening audience, in provocative conversations. The show serves as a catalyst for sharing relevant information to our online community. And we welcome you again, those that are joining us from Facebook. You're joining us live from the Blog Talk platform and our podcast series. Tonight's topic is overcoming the fear a failure. Everybody has a dream or fantasy of doing or becoming something significant. Many talented people struggle to keep up with societal expectations while secretly holding on to their personal aspirations. There is one common denominator in the equation of hoping for something and not obtaining it. The common factor fear of failure. Again, we endeavor to share with you tonight, and hopefully we can come away from this episode with an understanding. We have a very special guest that's joining us, who is a mass communication major, who's recently finished his associate degree, and a prospective podcast host is joining us tonight. We hope to hear from him and get some perspective on our topic, overcoming the fear of failure. He is also young man who is in America, African-American, who is striving to do positive things. And no doubt, like all of us, he has faced instances where there are concerns about whether or not you'll be successful or not. That is a very natural thing. So we want you to tune in. Stay with us tonight. The number is 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. Before I begin my dialogue, let me thank all of you who on Facebook and other mediums have expressed your sympathy at the loss of my mother, Miss Ethel Lee Dockery. The Lord blessed us to lay her to rest this past Monday, and it was a beautiful service. I believe she would have been pleased had she been alive to witness it. We're grateful for, again, each and every one of your expressions of sympathy. And we are continuing to move on, you know. We thank God for her being responsible for bringing us in the world. We appreciate her. We love her memory, and we'll continue to lift up her memory and everything that we say and do. But again, let me thank each of you for your expressions of sympathy. All right, having said that, we're going to go right into our monologue here. And hopefully you can join us again. That number is 657-383-0944. Thank you, Brother Bryce, for encouraging members of your group on Facebook to join us tonight. We hope that they can. You can join us live here at 657-383-0944. Having said that, without further ado, we're going to go right into our monologue here. All right, the topic again is overcoming the fear of failure. Psalms 27, verse 1 reads in the King James Version, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" To understand how one becomes afraid of failure, let's understand three terms. That's fear, doubt, and guilt. And then we will parlay that with the concept of failure. All right? Fear is a feeling that is brought on by the perception of danger or threat, and it occurs in human beings. Physiologically speaking, it causes a change in the metabolic process or the chemical process, such as how we break down food or digest food. When you're afraid, you can one often become constipated or have diarrhea and things of that nature, depending on the intensity of the fear. It affects how your organ functions. And ultimately, it causes a change in your normal behavior, such changes as fleeing or hiding, freezing up from perceived traumatic events. Fear may occur in response to a specific stimulus happening at the present or when you anticipate or expect a future threat that you perceive to be a risk to your life or your body. The fear response arises from the perception of danger, leading to confrontation with or escape from avoiding the threat. This is also known as the fight or flight response. In extreme cases of fear, horror, terror, one finds that a person freezes or become paralyzed. They can't even move, and they can't even function normally. In human and animals, fear is modulated by the process of cognitive learning. Thus, fear is judged as rational or inappropriate, and irrational or inappropriate. An irrational fear is called a phobia. There are many people today living in America whose life is based on phobias, irrational thought that something is threatening me. Now let's talk about doubt. To call into question the certainty of something is to doubt it. To be uncertain or in reservation about the existence or the truthfulness of something, to lack confidence or to totally distrust it, or to consider it to be unlikely. For instance, I know you say I should aspire to become part of a certain career, but something in me tells me it's unlikely that I'll be able to do that successfully, so I won't try. I doubt myself. Guilt. It is an emotional experience that occurs when a person believes, whether it's accurately or not, that he or she has compromised their own standards of conduct or have violated a universal moral standard and bears significant responsibility for that violation. It is closely related to the concept of remorse. People can cause you to become locked and stuck in your past, where perhaps you made a misstep or had a moment of indiscretion. And it causes you to feel so guilty that you doubt whether or not you can even move past it. And you find yourself stuck in fear. Stay with us, caller, there. We're in our monologue. Lastly, when you look at fear, doubt, and guilt, and you correlate it to failure, here's what we conclude. Failure is the state or condition of not meeting a desirable or intended objective and may be viewed as the opposite of success. The criteria for failure are heavily dependent on the context of how it is being used and may be relative to a particular observer or belief system. A situation considered to be a failure by one might be considered to be a success by another. Similarly, the degree of success or failure in a situation may be differently viewed by distinct observers and participants. It may also be difficult to, or impossible to determine whether a situation meets the criteria of failure or success due to the fact that different people and their experiences may bring about ambiguity, or it may not be easily defined. The best marker for success or failure is the will and determination of an individual to show resilience of mind toward meeting an ascribed goal. But know that fear, doubt, and guilt can cause one never to cross the threshold and meet success, and they find themselves often wondering, am I able? Am I worthy? Is it possible for me to overcome my past? What I submit to you today is that the reason people with great ideas, people with potential, and individuals with the heart to do better for themselves, and I'm not just talking about young people, even though this series has been based on encouraging young folk, but I'm more talking about people in general. There are people well in their 50s and 60s and 70s who have not become self-actualized, as Abraham Maslow would say it, because of fear that what happened to me 10, 20, 30 years ago, I just can't do it. I don't have confidence in myself. And I'm afraid that if I try, I'll fall flat on my face. Tonight we have, again, our special panelist tonight, Brother Stephen Shelton, who's joining us. We'd like to invite him to come in and talk to us. I got my regular panelists here, looks like Pastor Waller and my good friend, Alcaz. And I understand Brother Alcaz has had some death in his family as well, and we certainly express our sympathy there. But let me go to our guest tonight, Mr. Stephen Shelton. Good evening. How are you, sir?
How are you, doctor? May I call you doctor?
Absolutely. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Well, I first wanted to let you know that I'm humbled and honored for you inviting me in on your show, and I want to express my condolences. I had the opportunity of getting to know, I call her Anglia or Auntie, as we know, and I enjoyed her beautiful spirit, and I just, you know, pray for the healing of the family in general, so.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Pastor Waller, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. Pastor Doctor, how you doing, man? I'm all right.
Good. We appreciate it. I know you were busy today, but we appreciate you being able to catch up with us.
Yeah, I was going to be in and out, but I just wanted to let you know that I will be coming back soon. I just wanted to make known that I'm here at the service. And, again, I just wanted to encourage you and the brother who came on and all the panel as a whole. Be encouraged.
All right.
That tonight is a good night.
It is.
Amen.
It is indeed.
Yeah. But I'll be back soon.
Okay.
Tune in
long
as
I can.
All right.
Okay. Just come on back with us when you can. We'll be, just get in where you fit in. You, this your home, so you know where the house is.
I got my ears open. I want to hear something tonight, so I'll be tuning back in soon.
All right.
All right.
All right, great. Well, let me just turn Outcast. How you doing, sir? 1080? Are you there, 1080?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, that ain't Outcast. That's my good friend, Brother Charles. Yes, sir. How you doing, Brother Charles?
Pretty good, man. Good to hear you on the show, man.
Yeah, well,
my students, you and your voice, man.
All right. God bless you, man. God, I appreciate you. Brother Stephen, Brother Shelton, this Brother Charles Goodman,
yes.
He's an entrepreneur here in Nashville. And I appreciate his spirit, man. He's been holding my feet to the fire. Holding my feet to the fire. But we thank God for it, man. We appreciate all you, brother. Okay. Well, gentlemen, without further ado, let's get to the topic at hand. Overcoming the fear of failure. You heard the monologue, Brother Stephen. What do you think about that? The idea that those three legs causes us to become frozen and not bust a move. What do you think about this concept of fear, what causes people to become fretful and face failure?
Well, I think it's an excellent monologue, and it's definitely something that needs to be discussed in order for just young people and people of all ages to be encouraged to move past their fear and conquer their dreams and things of that nature. So I totally agree. I enjoyed the key points that you had, overcoming fear, doubt, and guilt, and how all three tie in together and making us as human beings stagnant in whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish.
Right. Yeah, I mean, what happens is we've all experienced it, where we were unsure about our ability to successfully complete something we started. Before I get too far, give us a little bit background. Give us a little bit of your background there, Brother Shelton. Tell us a little bit about your education and occupational background.
Okay. I initially started after high school. I graduated high school and went into the military. I went into the branch of Army and did that for 3 years. And right after that, I went right into the Army Reserve and did 3 years there. So a total of 6 years in the Army.
Wow.
I'm officially a veteran at this point. And not too soon after, I followed my dream and cast my doubts and guilt and fear to the side and made the move to Atlanta and accomplished getting my associate's degree in mass communications and just following and pursuing my own personal dreams and goals.
Okay, congratulations, man. And thank you for your service to the nation, man. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
I think y'all say hoorah, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Crazy thing. All right. It looks like I got my good friend Outcast with us tonight. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good.
Let me express my sympathy to you, Brother Outcast, in the loss of your niece. I pray that the family have strength there. Okay. All right. We're talking about overcoming the fear of failure. And I want to revisit the point that we covered, that it's not just young people who find themselves stuck in fear, but it's old folks. And perhaps it explains why it is that today such groups as Black Lives Matter and even Antifa groups or people that you find ready to run to the streets and protest, just looking for something to go down, you know? Can you talk to me about that a little bit, Mr. Shelton? What do you think is the motivating factor there in society today? What societal pressures are factored in there?
Well, I mean, if we go back to, say, the activist group Black Lives Matter,
okay,
it's pretty much we've entered a state, and I would hope that everybody agree, we've entered a state where it's gone from peaceful protest to active protest in a sense of more direct, more impatient. So I don't know, just speaking from, I'm only 31, but speaking from the voices of the youth that's my age and even younger, it's an impatientness that's out now where, I mean, we don't have the patience to sit and wait for something to, you know, pass or turn the other cheek or, you know, anything like that. So, I mean, it makes us seem a little more radical. But because we live in a popcorn, microwave type technology focused world that we live in, I mean, it makes a lot of people unsettled and impatient and want to act now, you know. Okay. So to me, I feel personally that it's more of a statement, you know, a statement protest to say, okay, you know, you do this, I'm gonna do this. I'm not waiting anymore, you know, and I don't think personally it's to the sense of how maybe the difference between Dr. Martin Luther King and the Honorable Malcolm X, that, you know, you knew the difference with Dr. Martin Luther King. It was more of a peaceful love. With Malcolm X, it was more of a by any means necessary. So it's a blend of the both, but it's still radical, and where we are in the United States at this point and just in the world, I mean, everybody has that freedom right. You know, it's not civil rights holding us back anymore. So, you know, it's just a place now where everybody has a platform. So,
right.
I mean, but I get it, you know.
Okay. Charles is in your generation. Where you land with that, Charles? What do you think about that, man?
Yeah, I agree as well. I mean, in the world we live in today, we want everything like right now. We want demands and whatever we want. Everything is normally like a touch away for the cell phones. I mean, we want things quick and fast. But there ain't nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, you gotta think realistically. You gotta be definitely open minded and just when it comes to reality, what time is it? I think we had a show on there basically, like, what time is it? You know, you got to kind of think about these things. You don't want to go back steps. We want to move forward with it.
Yeah. General Charles, and I'm sorry, Charles and Stephen, it's interesting to me because when you think about what fear really is, it's not knowing. And Charles, you speak of this all the time, Charles. When our young people have not been properly educated and prepared, how are they supposed to know how to deal with 241 years of stuff that really 400 years for the African-American subgroup in America? How are they to understand how to deal with those challenges in 2017? Nobody's taught them. Is that a fair statement, gentlemen?
Well, I feel personally that it's not so much nobody has taught them, is that the previous generations are learning to adjust and deal with what they have in their hands. So if they're ill-informed and the previous generation before them is ill-informed, when it's time to be informed, everybody is kind of like self-medicating in a sense or self-learning. So it's just one of those things to where it's like the generation at hand, like, for instance, my generation, I take the stand to say, okay, the chain breaks here. I have to, with what I have to, if it's just me or a few hundred or a few, you know, thousand or whatnot, if it's just me that needs to get out there and educate the youth, then it takes us individually to say, okay, this problem needs to be solved. How can I help? How can I roll my sleeves up? Too many people want to kind of sit by and, with the social media platform that we have for people to just add their comments and, you know, give their improv, it just leaves people just standing on a soapbox that's not doing anything. So, I mean, it's just about us individually picking up the slack and picking up the pieces. As the saying goes, if I'm saying it correct, on the backs of our ancestors, you know. So if we can, you know, let our ancestors get off their backs, and we become the the holding point to where we allow people to get on our backs and, you know, keep informing and keep the ball rolling, then, I mean, it makes a society better. But
sure.
to me, that's what's lacking.
Okay, mm-hmm. okay. Well, we got an elder on the phone with us. Talk to me about that, Outcast. You've heard our dialogue in the last few minutes. What do you think?
Young man, you know, being in the military, as Reverend Doctor said, thank you for your service. Well, let me go back to the military, which for something, if he don't mind. If you were still in the
okay.
National Guard and they're out there protesting and things really got out of hand, you're in the National Guard and you would call in, what would be your frame of mind when you went into
wow.
That set? What would
wow,
be your
great.
Frame of mind? Would your frame of mind be the same? Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You can finish your thought. I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead. You want to speak. I want you to lose your thought. Go ahead.
I appreciate that. My frame of mind is because we're taught in the military, and that's across the board, whether it's Marines, Air Force, the Army, or Navy, we're taught to be a soldier first. So with that being said, I can't rely on my personal and my emotional feelings. So the first thing I would do is to assess the situation and de-escalate the most offensive. So, you know, no matter whether it's on the anti-protest or the, you know, protest, just kind of analyzing the situation and de-escalating little situations that may arise that other people are kind of caught in the moment with, you know, emotionally, and me kind of being unemotional and just de-escalating.
Good answer. So therefore, you're out here in the free world now, and you stated that, you know, people should get active, teach, train, and things of that nature. What would you fit into that? Do you think that if you were around a group of people and they would want to protest and things of that nature, what would be your first avenue? Basically, what I'm alluding at is how would you get around a protest? Would you say, hey, let's do it like this, or let's vote, you know? And as you stated, by the same token, we educate people, you know? Now, a lot of people, I agree with the platform thing, a lot of people that get out, they want to protest, they want to make names for themselves, they want to get known for this, known for that, and then they want to bring slavery back up, you know,
right.
oppression things of that nature. But going back to our ancestors, some of the things that we've done in our generation past, even generations today, I'm quite sure that those slaves are, you know, just turning in their graves now saying no, emotionally no,
right.
you know, educate wow. yourself, you know, right. you know, don't do this or don't do that, you know. I understand Malcolm X and I understand Martin Luther King. But Malcolm X, hey, they had too many guns for him. He could not beat the military. Martin Luther
right.
King, even this time,
right.
had enough sense to realize that. Violence
That's right.
is not the answer. Peaceful protest
right.
is what it is. And I don't
right.
know if this is just speak.
Okay.
Well, I guess I want to understand your the first question. So you're saying if out of the military and my own personal self now, what would be my solution if I came across in the civilian sector people protesting?
Well, you know, I mean, people are getting together and trying to figure out what do they want to do. Should they tell
okay.
or what? Or should they take a legal avenue, you know, try to vote and boot, things of that nature. No voting,
okay.
no voting boot. You know, educate
okay.
them in that manner. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I get it. First, I think that because we need to understand that we all have choices, and all the choices that we make, is whether you're a Republican or Democrat or liberal or whatever you are, politically, or just, you know, you choose not to be a part. We all have choices, and we all should respect everybody's opinion. Nobody is any more, any less. We just have different opinions, and it's about sitting and understanding first. Not picking a side, but just understanding, okay, where are you coming from, and how does where you're coming from tie into where I'm coming from, and how can we together make a median to you know, come up with a solution that fits for everybody instead of saying, well, you know, white privilege here, or I'm black and it's beautiful and, you know, whatever. How can we all come together as a human race and just understand? So I guess going back to your question, if I was caught in that situation, it would just more so to be the mediator of bringing people together and having everybody sit. And it's a saying that if you're how do you say it? How can you hear anything again? Well, no, it was more so how can you hear anything if you're talking? Like, I guess if we're all bickering at each other, who's hearing for a solution?
Gotcha.
Like, you have to rather the blood or noise, in other words.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, it's okay. Just one of those things where you become the solution, and everybody wants their point to get across, but maybe your point can be altered when you hear somebody else's point. So, I mean, it's just.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's just. Go ahead.
Let me do this. If you're listening, you're just tuning in. We're talking about overcoming the fear of failure. This is Talk Straight, your host, Reverend Dockery. The number is 657-383-0944. Give us a call. Join us. We're going to take a brief break here to get this message in. And when we come back, I want you to pick that up with me again. Our special guest tonight is Mr. Stephen Shelton, who is a mass communication major, a veteran of the United States Army. We appreciate him. He's joining in with us tonight, a young man. He and Brother Charles, I think they have the superior viewpoint tonight, because this is really germane to their experience and their generation. And Charles, when we come back, talk to us about, as an entrepreneur, man, how do we encourage our people? But just give us a few minutes. Again, it's the number 657-383-0944. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America, with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Straight. The topic is overcoming the fear of failure. Estelle tells us in her song that life is like a merry-go-round. But guess what? It's about mind over matter. What you do determines whether or not you become a conqueror or a failure. We're talking with our special guest tonight, Mr. Stephen Shelton, who's on, our good friend, Brother Outcast, as well as Charles, who's joined in with us. And I like the way you framed that question, Outcast, to him. If you found yourself in a position where you had to encourage, motivate, or instruct the protesters who are angry, frustrated, no doubt, and have doubt and guilt about the way things are going to go, how do you tell them? But Charles, you are a young man and an entrepreneur. How would you advise if you had an opportunity to be in the face of those people that were in St. Louis just last week? Many of them tearing up and looting, man. How would you begin to try to reach them, Brother Charles?
Oh, man, I would definitely encourage them to let them know. As far as me, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I've been cutting hair or whatever for a little while, man. But before that, I've never been at that crossroad of my life where I felt like I couldn't do it. I've been right there where, you know that fear and doubt and whatever thing else, you know, whatever else is in your mind, you know, they kind of discourage you from going about it. A lot of it came from people around me based off they couldn't do it. So if you cannot get caught up in what people around you are saying, because, you know, sometimes God will give you something, give you vision. That's just for you. And I had to take a step out on faith. I felt like at the age I was before I went to school, you know, I know I definitely knew in these streets. That's guaranteed. But I had to, yeah. I was at a crossroads of my life where you got to pick. You can't play both sides of the fence. It's like you have to put your faith on one of those paths. And I just chose to do right because I feel like I can always do wrong. That ain't nothing. You know what? Try to do something right. Try to do something positive with your life. Don't just throw it all away, all at once. You know what? And I took I had faith in myself and I went out there. Pursue my career, you know what? All the people around me, I remember going through. They're telling me you can't do it. Oh man, you'll never pass this state board. That board says tomorrow. You know what? And all this negativity is around. But you know what? I still kept on pressing forward, and I kind of believed it. But you know what? I'm gonna find out for myself. And I had to go out there and pursue that for myself. You know what? And I overachieved in it. If I listened to people around me, I would never. I'd never be where I'm at today. And I thank God for just stepping out on faith, even though sometimes it's by yourself. You can't get that encouragement. Sometimes you won't even get it from your own family. You still got to believe in yourself and go find out for yourself and see what God got in store for you. You know what? That was the best decision I made in my life.
Yeah. You know, that I like that. I appreciate that Charles. Gentlemen, there's a book entitled The Invisible Man. And in the book, there was a character, a young man, who was trying to find himself. And he went all over the country, to New York, to Miami. He went to New Orleans. He went to Chicago. He went to Indiana. He went to Cleveland, Ohio. And everywhere he went, he picked up a little bit of something. And it was almost as if he was schizophrenic because he never really tied himself down to anything. But he really didn't know where he was going. He was on a journey and didn't have a clue to where the end was. And what I'm getting at is the power of planning. To start to say that I want to reach a goal, an end point, and I know what I got to do to get from point A to point B. The shortest distance between the line is points. Well, how do I chop my points in between there? What do you say of that? What do you say, Brother Shelton?
I totally agree, and I want to thank Brother Charles. For that word, I definitely agree with what you were saying as well, as far as, you know, having faith in yourself and picking a side and what road you want to go down. Doctor, as far as what you were saying, I don't know. It's just one of those things to where it's that, I haven't had the opportunity to read that book, but I definitely will pick it up. It does sound very interesting.
Ralph Ellison, Invisible Man.
Ralph Ellison. Okay, I'll note that. I think we as individuals, we have to look past fear. And once we look past fear, and that's easier said than done, of course, but once we look past fear and come face to face and confront doubt and work out our guilt, things get a little more easier because I think the guilt of, and my mother told me this once before, you're good enough and you have to look in the mirror and tell yourself that you're good enough for whatever it is that you want to do, no matter your circumstances or, you know, where you come from or what people around you, as Brother Charles was saying, are saying to I guess, bring you down. And my older sister, she taught me as well, too, that people usually put off how their feelings and fears off on you.
That's right.
So once
That's
you
right.
can recognize that people are dumping their fears and doubts on you and igniting your own, then it's just one of them times where you have to reverse it and take control back. And that puts that skyrockets us individually and just as a whole past fear and into our success and overcoming the fear of failure. So,
right.
You know.
You know, Outkast, man, I appreciate these young brothers and sharing with us. And every time I see, since starting with Trayvon Martin, I see the pro, well, really Gina Six, 2006, right? And I see young people taking the streets. I say to myself, man, that's the power of forward progress that have not been properly tapped nor trained. And in part, that's what inspired this show. We want to open a dialogue that will get us to where we can, when we catch young cats on the street. Because right now, man, we go in any major city, Outkast, and I can show you where little shorties are just hanging out, trying to find something to get into. Now, I mean, isn't that something, Outkast?
Oh, yeah, but, you know, I mean, you know what really get me? I mean, this went on in our time, as you know, Reverend Docker. You know, we'd be around a certain group of people, and when the conversation is going on, it's always about hating someone or disliking someone.
Right.
You hate the white man. You hate your neighbor next door. But where's the love? You know. And this is what's going on, Reverend Docker.
Yes,
if I don't have anything to eat, it's because I didn't get out there and try to get me something to eat. If I don't have anywhere to live, it's because I did not put forth white man. Yeah, you know, racism and bigotry is going to be here forever. Racism and bigotry goes on in our own race.
Sure.
You know, this is taught in our environment. A lot of it is taught in your home. The only someone that can hold you back is yourself. I would listen to the young man.
Wow.
Went into the military, went into the reserve, went back to school, got himself a social degree in communication. Was anyone stopping that young man from doing what he wanted trying to achieve what he wanted to achieve? No.
Wow.
White man didn't stop him. But I'm quite sure that down the road, them black brother was trying to stop him.
What?
Probably in the military, home, and everywhere else, school, everywhere else. You know, we have got to get past, from my point of view, it's not fear, it's fear. It's hatred. Hate everything around you until they lose control of everything that's going on with themselves. And then before you know it, they will not end up like that young man going into the military, going into the guard, and then going to college. No, they're on their way to prison or to the graveyard. This is the problem. The environment, the people that they talk to, they're always going to keep off course. You know, the devil works like that. The devil's not going to steer you in the right direction. Each time he's going to steer you in the wrong direction. You know, like Michael Jackson said, like that young man said, his mother said, look in the mirror. Who's the problem? What can you do for yourself to correct you? Who's holding you back? No one but yourself and our hold.
Wow. Gentlemen.
Very good.
I mean, even this protest, and if young people were around me and they were talking about going to one of these marches and things of that nature, I would tell them, quick, look, work on yourself. That time that you spend out there doing that, you could be going, getting your voting certificate, voting card.
Sure.
You
sure.
can have yourself in school. You can have yourself in some books. But don't worry yourself about that. You know, now they talk about the slave. The slave paved the way for us. And look at us today.
Mm.
Even Martin Luther King. I throw Malcolm X in there too. And there was a lot of other freedom fighters that died.
Right.
You know,
right.
But where are we today? You know,
yeah.
Now,
may I?
We come out. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
Just wanted to agree to disagree with what you were saying, sir.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay.
When I said what you said, as far as the statement you made when you said the youth needs to not march and just more so worry about themselves and stuff like that, I agree, but I disagree in a sense. I do believe that we need self-reflection, but it's so much going on with the youth, and as we all stated and agreed before, that in this generation that we live in now, it's more about what can you do for me right now. And I think if we all can just, the experience and older and more accomplished, and just be advisors to the youth to say, okay, maybe if you do it this way, and, you know, maybe don't go radical, don't go looting, you know, but you can, you know, and you can be, you can do a protest peaceful. But these are some things that could happen just because you're protesting this or you're a black young man or a black young woman. But I don't believe that we should be discouraged not to voice our opinion.
So let me chime in here.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hold on 1 second. Let me chime in here for a second. I'll give you a case study, Russ Shelton. Gina, Louisiana. You familiar with that incident?
I am.
In 2006. Six black boys were charged with murder, attempted murder, facing many years in prison because a Caucasian boy came to them with a shotgun. They took the shotgun from him and whipped his tail. He got the whip he'd been needing for a long time, right? Well, a whole lot of black folk pumped up by social media and by the radio shows and so forth and so on, and the good brother Al Sharpton and all them cats and Farrakhan, they came down to this little small 3,000-some population town, man, and they turned the town upside down, right? Well, nobody, Stephen, took lawyers to the state capitol or to the Supreme Court of Louisiana and said this law, that law, and that law is illegal. It should be taken off the book so that district attorneys can't pull that number no more. Nobody said to the federal government, to the Supreme Court, that we want to challenge the position of states across America that have laws in their codes annotated anti or against the healthy existence of folk. This is what UNCAS is talking about, being proactive with your energy and your time. But they went down there and they turned the town upside down. Everybody came home, and guess what? Things are pretty much still the same as they were before they came. Can you appreciate what he means a little bit about in terms of use your time wisely? One of the biggest things that a lot of the people that suffer the most socially, economically across America is they don't vote, particularly with African Americans. They do not vote. That's how you choose who represents you in political office, who allocates resources, and who make policies that affect your day-to-day life. If you're tapped out of that process, you tap yourself out of essentially having a power and a voice in society.
Okay.
What do you think? Let me give you a chance to respond then.
Well, I mean, just to chime in, I totally agree. And I definitely think that that was very dysfunctional and sad on the veterans in the civil rights game not to have enough common sense to do what you suggested as far as going up to the Supreme Court and, you know, challenging the other local, you know, systems that was in place. But I agree. I still stand on my agreeing and disagreeing. I definitely feel like if I agree that we should channel our energy in proactive and productive situations, but I don't believe that we should over-channel. Because even with the Dr. Martin Luther King and the Malcolm X's, there had to be a balance between both, because we saw peaceful protesting. It got you somewhere, but it didn't. And then we see that radical protesting, it pretty much got you, you know, an open butt whooping. you know, the approach as far as that. So it's about finding that balance. And unfortunately, that balance will forever be finding just for the sheer fact of the color of our skin. So
I see.
Or just being a minority. But I definitely feel like it's up to us to fill in those positions as legislators and judges and, you know, in our local community. And that needs to be more encouraged and, you know, to let the youth know your voice matters. Even though you can't vote, your voice matters. And when it's time to vote, vote, but not just vote. That's kind of like faith without works is dead. You know, yeah, we can vote, but if we're not being proactive in our vote,
absolutely,
then it still doesn't mean anything.
And you're right. And not just voting for a joker. And I'm speaking as a former candidate for a political office. Don't just vote for a joker, but put somebody in that is going to be accountable and responsible
right.
to what you need from them. That means you need to know who they are, what they're about, and what they're capable of. And if they don't do it, then the next time it's time to vote, get them jokers up out in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. But
I agree.
I feel, I'm just curious. Charles, what year with that, my brother?
What year? Louisiana?
Yeah, well, the idea that there was a missed opportunity. And I hear young people today even saying, we just ready to go out and smash something and let them know how we feel. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We really set something up.
Wow. Yeah, that's it. Can I interject for a minute, if you don't mind, can I interject, please?
Okay. Go
you
ahead,
remember,
we'll come back to
I was going to say, Miles talking about that as far as with the military. Ain't that kind of like putting fear in you to make you to kind of stop you from even starting something? Like, and we fear that, you know, with you know, protesting and stuff like that, you know, at its max, we know it's going to get shut down by the government. That kind of stop a lot of people from even beginning.
True.
Like, that's
true.
Kind of like a controlled situation. Like, you know, it's not being, you know, it's not fair or whatever, but at its max, even though you could be so morally right, the government,
okay.
the military, gonna come in and shut that thing down. That's and that's kind of stopping our leaders today.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Let's shut the leaders down.
Go ahead, Al. Okay.
That's
an interesting.
If you remember
out,
back
man.
In time, okay, Reverend Doctor, this happened
yes,
some
sir.
Years ago. It was okay. the lacrosse team. You remember the lacrosse team, the white guy
yeah.
that was COVID raped
yeah.
the black
yeah.
girl, and
yeah.
you had
right.
Al
right.
Yonkers. Jesse Jackson and all them running
yeah.
down there and
right,
come to find
right.
out that the white guys didn't do
lie.
Anything to the female. But right. But see, here we are with protests again. You know,
uh-huh.
a lot of times, you know, when something happened, you know, angry blacks are angry anyway, you know, and want to run back to slavery. So therefore, let's go down here. Let's march in these streets. But why don't they take time to examine things sometimes? You know,
mm-hmm.
going back to, you know, why don't you go to the go to your city hall, start there, you know. I
right.
mean, but right now, going back to what the young man said, everything is instant now. You know,
okay.
They don't take time to get the facts and analyze the facts of what went on. We know that we have some crew of police officers out here, and you have some good
yeah, we
police
do.
Officers.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, there's good and bad in everything, you know. But examination too is what I was alluding to when I was talking to the young man. Also, you know, depending on what's going on, I can only try to steer the younger people around me. I can only try to steer them in the right way. And my conversation would be this: why don't you just wait? Don't go to that protest. Take your time and find out exactly what went on. You know, I would tell them if you. Anything, go to City Hall, you know what I'm saying? Go to the mayor, you know?
Right, right.
Instead
well,
of,
that's a very good point. That's a very good point, Outkast. And I want to let's keep this historically correct. There was a time when young whites felt like blacks were going to take something away from them, particularly in the South and up North. And you had, in 1949, I believe it was, the Red Summer, was a summer where you had riots in 42 different cities because whites felt like blacks were taking some away from them and blacks were not going to be abused by their threat. They fear a threat, right? Well, the truth of the matter is it's not just black people who feel like they are being threatened. They need to riot. They need to protest. And they need to make their voices known. Historically, whites have been in the same position. People who are of Irish descent, people of Italian descent, have their own conflicts with society. So I think it's important for us to keep that in mind, that it is not just African Americans who in the last 40, 50 years after the civil rights struggle who say we've been failed and let down because we were promised that we've overcome and that we now have civil rights. But I think the underlying statement that OutKast is making, and I agree with him, is that your civil rights depend on what you do for yourself and what you make for yourself, even in America. So just food for thought, I see Pastor Wallace tuned in with us. You've been listening, man. What's going on? What about all this these cats talking about? Pastor Wallace? Can you hear us? Okay, Well, let me go to you, Charles. What about that, man?
Let me see that question one more time so I can stay on track.
No, I was just asking, Charles, what about the fact that it has not just been blacks that have feared that they were being threatened by society and the government and law and things of that nature? Whites have been in that same position, which caused them to riot as well.
Oh, man, but I feel like it's two different situations, though. I'm not familiar with the whites
okay.
They're riding about. I feel like they're winning right now. I'm trying to figure out what they riding about.
I don't mean to be rude to cut you off, but I hear what you're saying. Today, the circumstances are different for whites than what it was 80 years ago during this era that I'm talking about when they rioted. When they were rioting, they felt it's the same way black people feel in 2017. Many black, not all, but many blacks feel in 2017. They had some of the same claims 80 years ago. But today, the shoe is on the other foot.
I personally think that I understand their frustration, but now it kind of gives an insight to other races and other privileged races outside of African Americans or people of African descent or, you know, black or dark complexion people that's been on the minority end for over the past 100 years. So I think it's interesting, and I hope that they're able to kind of understand. But of course, I still, just like everybody else, I see their frustration. And I think it's funny, not to be mean, I think it's funny, you know, now it's kind of like, well, hey, the minority card is legitly falling on the what was called the superior race across the board. Even if you go to to anywhere, there it's kind of like now the lower races are becoming more. So I just think it's funny to me, just looking at and observing it. And as far as the minorities, it's one of those things, going back to what the brother was saying, I do believe that we need to actually tap into our ancestors, because then when we were going to protest or anything like that, we strategically waited weeks, if not longer, to come together and plan and strategize. And, well, hey, if the opposers come to you like this, we going to put up a wall like this, and, you know, this is how you avoid this, and, you know,
sure.
So, excuse me, I think that we need to actually sit down instead of going off emotion. Oh, they shot another unarmed black man. Let's sit down and assess and see how we can effectively help the situation.
Right. Interesting. Okay. Listen, man, y'all cutting up tonight. We got another 29 minutes here, so I want to bring Young Jeezy in, because he brings an interesting perspective, I believe, to this conversation of overcoming fear of failure. And I like the way you all are crafting this tonight. But there's a green elephant in the room. give me a few seconds. Let me bring Young Jeezy in, and then we'll come back. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is Coach Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. The topic is overcoming the fear of failure. 657-383-0944. Call us right now. Get in where you fit in. Mr. Shelton, Stephen Shelton is our special guest tonight. Brother Outcast and Brother Charles are with us again. Okay, let me pose it to you like this, brother. I'm 25 years old. I done dropped out of high school, right? I ain't got no high school diploma, so they won't let me get a job, right? I'm on the block, y'all, and I'm trying to survive. I'm a sole survivor. I got to get it like I can. Now, if I don't be careful, the man going to roll up blue light me, going to lock me up and bust up my hustle. I'm afraid that I won't eat and I won't live the American dream if I don't stay out there on the block and be a sole survivor. What about that, Brother Stephen? Help me out now.
Okay. I feel for the brother because he's 25 and still haven't graduated or graduated high school. So, okay, we can work with that. That's a state of mind. And unfortunately, I've seen that. You know, me growing up west side of Chicago, we already have three strikes, but even four strikes. With us growing up in urban communities, and we're already a statistic. We're born in sin, and we're born into a statistic as black youth and black young men, preferably. So that's a state of mind that was trying to be latched on to myself. Something that unfortunately was trying to be latched on to my little brothers and cousins and across the board. So it just takes. It just takes for us to realize that we're not a statistic. We can break that mold, and, you know, we deserve to be kings and queens and young men and young women. And that goes back, you know, self-reflecting on myself. I came to a crossroad to say I want more than running home or hanging out on the blocks or, you know, participating in illegal activities. So I went ahead and I joined the military, and I bettered myself for myself, and, you know, it's a state of mind. So,
okay.
All right,
Charles. Come on, get me right, Charles. Get me right.
Yeah. I feel like it's all the challenge. You want to beat the odds. You don't want to be part of statistics. I was at the crossroad as well. I knew what I was around everybody selling dope, doing dope, doing all that. I know it can't be right, man. You know what I'm saying? I heard the Marvin King. I heard Malcolm X. I know that side of it. It's just something about, you know, you just want to win. I mean, I wanted money, but I want to be able to keep my money. And if you want to keep your money, you want to live that lifestyle for real, you got to choose the best, you got to choose the positive right. Even though it's a little bit longer, it seems longer because you never did nothing in life. But once you start realizing you accomplish your first goal in life, you know you can achieve anything in life. But you got to experience it personally and know for yourself, though. That was my thing about it. It's like, man, it takes time. You want it to take time. You need that time to be thinking about some other stuff. You want it to take time. Anything fast is not good. It's just not going to happen. It's just not right.
Well,
that's the truth.
If you ain't got to work for it, you better look over your shoulder, man.
Man, you want to be able to keep your success. You want temporary success. That's like some streets. That's temporary. You're going to have it for a little bit. You know you're going to go to jail. You're going to die. I want to keep mine. I want to have it for the rest of my life. You know, so it was worth investing to myself. It was worth the wait. It was worth 9 months of school. Look, I've been cutting out for 15 years now for 9 months of school. I'm going to face it in for a bag of rock. No way.
Wow.
Proof.
Go on, Outcast. I mean, the young men have said everything that I've been saying all along. You know, like a young man said, he came to the crossroads.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people be at that crossroads. A lot of people, you know, they go to the crossroads and they just stand up and look and get hit by a truck.
Man.
you know what I mean?
That's a funny thing because fear will cause you to lose sight on what's real. You're so caught up in what you're scared of might happen that you can't even appreciate what's really going on around. You know, it's like you can't appreciate the forest for all the trees. And all you got to do is take one tree at a time, maneuver it, and make your way out to the open. I mean, that's deep right there. That's deep. That is deep, sure enough. But
you got to find that out for yourself, because once you find that out, it unlocks other things in your life. Once you achieve your first goal that you set, you can achieve them all.
Right.
But if you don't ever achieve your first one, you're going to always stay worried and scared about everything. That's something every man owes to themselves, is to accomplish a goal. If you can accomplish it, I promise it changes your life. It changes your vision, how you see things. You know not to listen to stuff around you. You trust yourself. You trust God, where He's leading. It's a trust thing that every man deserves to have. You got to possess that for yourself to figure out the rest of the, you know, the keys and puzzles in life. But without that, you're going to be scared of everything. You're going to be down and fearful of everything. It's scary because it looks like
can I interject something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I do want to say this. I'm proud of both of those young men, you know. I mean, went in the right direction, which they had choices, and they made good choices, you know.
Absolutely.
Even down to Charles and the other young man, you know. I'm proud of you, you know.
Sir.
I hope that they can reach some other young guys.
Absolutely. And this is what we got to move forward with. Go ahead, Stephen. You were going to say something?
The only thing I wanted to interject was I feel like when us as young black men, when we accomplish and gain something, it will behoove us as a generation and as just men to reach back and pull the next one up, you know. And I think that's what we, as we're moving forward in life and stuff like that, people get so far and comfortable and complacent where they are, and they get selfish and greedy and don't want to reach back and spread the wealth, even if it's just a word of, you can make it, you know. And I feel like that's our job. That's why the youth is going in direction, especially the young men that we're going in, because no one is taking the time just to say, hey, little brother, you can do it. Come on, you know, this is how you do it, you know. So I think that plays a part too, and I'm actively gearing myself to be more of a mentor and more of a example, you know. So I think that's what we should do.
Wow.
Yeah, great.
That's
like
consistent
that.
With Du Bois' concept of each one teach one, right?
Right.
Well, that's a good segue. Tell us a little bit. I know that you are planning, you're developing a podcast series, Brother Shelton. Tell us a little bit about what you hope to accomplish with that and what your vision is for it. If you don't mind.
Well, right now, it's still kind of in the works, like the creating stages. So I appreciate the opportunity, Doctor, for you exposing me, hint, the reaching back. So I definitely appreciate you exposing me to this and helping me, you know, better plan mine. But with mine, because of my love of music and entertainment and just social issues and just real talk, like how yours is, I just want to be able to show a human side to whether it's celebrities or your local politician or up-and-coming artists or just anybody in general, and give them a platform to be encouraging and be transparent, you know. So, I mean, that's it at this point.
Okay. All right, man. Wow. Appreciate that. You know, Charles, I was telling you at the beginning of the show, Brother Charles, he, you know, a good brother who's serious about some proaction and movement. And, of course, you know, we had 6 months ago buried my dad, and then we just buried my mom. But we had a lot going on. But I said that to say that amid everything else, one of the things I appreciate is that he's saying, listen, we had enough talk. It's time for some real action. And certainly this dialogue plays a role and a part in that. So I'm grateful tonight that there are others who are inspired to make moves, Charles, and to do other things. And we certainly pray that God give us the wherewithal, the resources, and the strength, man, to do where we are and what we can wherever we go. So good thing. Now, so I want to go to this text that we shared in our monologue, Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? There's a rap song out, Charles, that said, I ain't never scared. you don't know nothing about that, dude, Charles. Charles, you don't know nothing about that.
Bone crusher.
Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all don't know nothing about that.
Oh, yeah, we
now,
do. I think so.
No, okay. Then it goes on further, Stephen and Charles, to say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? If you are a young man who get in your car and are concerned about being pulled over by the police, how can that text be a comfort to you? Either one of y'all.
I'll let you go ahead, Charles.
You shouldn't have to be worried then. You shouldn't have to worry about nothing. You shouldn't be doing nothing to have you worried. That'll solve everything.
Say what?
Now, you living right, you don't have to worry about. Only time you got to worry about stuff like this when you know you're living wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I mean, you know that. You know you're living totally wrong. You got to worry about when you get pulled over. But if you're not doing anything, then I promise nothing's going to come about in that situation.
What, Charles, guaranteed. Somebody said they see me rolling and they hate me. They try to catch me.
Ain't nothing wrong with the hate, but when they pull you over, there ain't nothing in the car, and let them keep
okay,
on hating.
Okay. What about that, bro, Steph?
Well, I totally agree with Charles. But I guess to add to that, it's about, because I know somebody can combat that and say, well, what if I have everything together and I'm still being harassed? You know,
absolutely.
It's about being spiritually connected and being at peace with, you know, where we are to say, okay, even if I have my insurance, I have my license hasn't been expired and everything's fine, I'm connected enough with God or with a higher power to where whatever is to come, I'm at peace with, because I've done everything that I was supposed to do, and justice will be served either today, tomorrow, or years from now, but I'll get my justice depending on whatever happens. So that's how I feel about it.
Outcast, what about that, man?
Well, here's an incident. I was over. I was coming from out north, and I decided to take me a shortcut. So I came up with a bed, and I turned down Lewis Street. Police guy behind me. He said, you know why I stopped you? I said, no. He said, you ran the stop sign. I didn't know. But it was at night, so when he turned the light on behind me, I turned my dome light on, cut my call, you know, and put my hand on the steering wheel. Okay?
Okay.
Now, he don't feel threatened. So when he stated that I ran the stop sign, I didn't argue with him. He said, give me your license and your insurance. I gave him my license and insurance. I know what he wanted to do. I was in the wrong side of town, well, at least the hot side of town. You know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
A rubber doctor.
That's right.
You know, so,
that's right.
Automatically, I know what he wanted to do. You know, he just wanted to run my name through a little data bank, mate, or whatever.
There you go.
And let me go. So he came back, gave my driver's license, gave my insurance. He said, slow it down. I said, okay, thank you, sir. Turned my dome light out, crunk my truck up, turned my headlights on, and went on. Nothing to fear. And if he got, and if he was going to get nasty with me, you know, I got my dome light on. I'm looking at your badge. I'm getting your number
there
off
you
of
go.
It. Okay,
there
I just
go.
Gone uptown the next day. No problem, sir. Because of follow the laws of the land. You know, God's here. You know, the scripture says follow the laws of the land. So, I mean, I'm in check. And I hope.
Right.
That's interesting. The text says, the Lord is my light. I want to put a pen right there. What is a light? A light is an illumination that brings or casts or uncover things that are in the dark. The one thing people, I don't care what your ethnicity is, need to have, and that is knowledge and information. And when you have knowledge and understanding, you ain't got to go scared nowhere. See, we got a lot of people running around who don't even know what basic civic expectations of society are. So they find themselves always wondering, is somebody going to come and trip me up? Am I going to wind up losing out? But when you know what your rights are and you know that you're operating in the right, you ain't got no need to be scared. Some knucklehead may come out and try to, you know what I mean, go rogue. Outcast City.
Right.
Unfortunately, there are individuals in teaching and law enforcement and hospitals and other professions that don't need to be there. They ain't got no business there at all. But they are. And you deal with that.
Yeah.
Right? But when you're right and when you're in order, you ain't got nothing. I like the way Charles said it. You ain't doing nothing wrong. You ain't got no reason to be scared. So, but, man, look at the time. Go ahead, Charles. You going to take something?
No, I was just listening.
All right. We got 12 minutes to go. Golly, man. I was just getting fired up, Steph.
Go ahead.
So tell me this. Tell me, in fact, Mary says, I cried my last tear yesterday. Now, they sound good and everything, and that sound good. Is there anything wrong with moaning sometime when you ain't happy? Does it make you a chump to say that I'm afraid and I need to go back, prepare myself, and learn what I need to do? Does that make you a bad guy, Stephen?
No.
So either make you a ready person to me. When you break down and get to that level of, I mean, you serious about the question you're about to choose? I think it's necessary.
But I ain't no punk though. I know what I'm talking about, man. You ain't about to chump me out. I know what I'm talking about. You see what I'm saying, Charles? I don't want to come off and make anybody think I'm weak. Stephen, you were going to respond to that, Stephen.
No, you know what? I personally had to work on because of course, I mean, we're raised and we're brought up as young men to not be a punk, not be a sissy, not cry, because that's not what men do. But in retrospect, real men do cry sometimes.
What?
And
what?
of course. And it's about giving yourself that release just as a human being, not even as a man or a woman, but giving yourself that release in order to help guide and orchestrate your emotions. and help align them in the right way. I mean, you don't want to be breaking down in the middle of driving to work or, you know, somewhere else, you know, at the wrong place, wrong time. So you got to give yourself that release, you know, from time to time. Now, I'm not saying just cry about everything, but you got to give yourself that door to say, hey, it's okay. You can cry about it.
Then he gave me my ice cream, Steph, man. I feel like crying now.
We're going.
No, but absolutely. You know, when those real men cry, Stephen and Outkast and Charles, when on the other end of their crying, they're going to do something. They're going to take their tears and they're going to wash away their problems. Huh?
That's right.
Tears when they get a chance to dry. Because they're going to use it as a liquid to wash away their problems.
That's
when they get through crying. But now, don't cry in front of your lady, Charles. Don't do that.
No. Well, you got to hold something together at some point.
No, but I said that jokingly. But the truth of the matter is, it one of the benefits of having a spouse is that you need somebody that you can release with that will hold your most intimate thoughts and as well as your fears and your concerns and help guide you through that. We need that. And brothers need, what Charles said early on in the show, brothers need the chance to talk to one another and to get past even our hate on one another. You know what I mean? Our perceptions of threat that somebody trying to step in on my territory. We need that. We certainly need that more than what we've had. So, but wow, man. 8 minutes. We're going to end with Brother Steph and let him give his final thought. But Outkast, give me something, man, as we get ready to wind down. We have to get out of this show. Going to cut off on us at 8:30.
Well,
but
thank
God for you guys.
Okay, since you were talking about crying, Jesus wept. And I'm done. I'm done.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Call him what you want to, but he will. He sure did well.
That's right.
All right, Charles, what about it?
Yeah, for the young generation and for the older generation as well, I say, man, go out there and face every fear that you're scared of. I mean, that's the whole point of living. You got to face them fears because it's a trick, man. It's a trick of the enemy. The thing that you're scared of that's as far as in your life is going to be your most successful points, man. Things that you're scared of. You got to face them fears. Not doing the things that's obvious that you know you can do. Face the ones you're scared the most challenging. I promise you, if it's like my situation in my life, which I was scared of, and I listen to everybody, I would have never got to where I was being. But I'm glad I took I was scared. I was scared when I was going through school. I'm a failing away. People tell them I don't like to read, I don't like to study. I listen to that. You know what, I halfway agree with them a little bit, but you know what? I overachieved.
Wow.
I thought I was going to make it. I overachieved.
Wow.
And I got along with a whole lot of other things in life. Now I'm eager to try a whole lot of other things, so I know I can do it. Right. I've done it before.
I like that, man. I like that a lot. So, you know, so what I'm hearing, Charles, you're saying you allow fear to be a motivating factor for you.
Yeah.
So that was what they might call negative.
There you go.
Huh?
There you go. Let me find out for myself. I'll find out.
Right.
You know what?
Right.
It was way better than I even ever imagined. We got hit with a, what was that? Recession. It was perfect timing. You got to trust your own self. I didn't know a recession was coming. I was right on time for all of that.
Wow.
Trust yourself and go through with it. It can be done. And it's more than what you imagine on the other side. That's why it's so fearful. You should unlock that and see it.
Yeah. Wow. So that was a form of negative reinforcement then. Yeah, that was an object of fear there, but it drove you to keep on pushing and to overcome.
And I hope it encouraged other people who said it couldn't be done. Like, well, he done it. And I said he couldn't. I told him the test was going to be hard. He overachieved. He made a 97 and an 85 on the written and the practical. So I hope it encouraged the one.
Wow.
It couldn't happen. Like,
You know, cause they probably, somebody probably told them they couldn't. They just rolled with it. The difference between me and them is I kept on going and found out for myself and I overachieved.
Yeah. And that's where it's at. You know, that's where it's at. You gotta dig deep down within yourself. To educate means to bring out that which is in, to educe that which is in and bring it out. You know, you got it in you. You definitely got it in you. Man, what a testimony. Stephan, we're gonna give you the floor here, man. Wrap us up, give us a final thought. Thank you for being with us tonight, man, first of all.
Oh, no problem. I'll wrap it up with the first line in Psalms 23, the Psalms of David. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing.
Mm.
So I think when the first thing of noticing about overcoming fear is before you can overcome fear, you have to be aware that your fears are causing a havoc in your life. So you
mm-hmm.
have to be aware that what the fears are, and you have to point them out. So, you know, in knowing that, you can understand that, you know, doubt is a feeling of uncertainty. So once
right.
you get past that uncertainty, then you can point out your fears and, you know, you're able to see your way through and make accomplishments and make strides and, you know, as you were saying, overcoming the fear of failure.
Wow. Powerful. I pray that after this episode tonight, and by the way, listening audience, you can archive it and listen to it as many times as you like. I pray that somebody will have heard something that will encourage them to overcome their fear of failure and know that there's nothing to fear but fear itself. When you know the truth will make you free. And this is where we have to position ourselves, to where no matter what's going on around us and no matter who, like Charles said, is saying what, because what you're going to have is people who are afraid themselves and they're looking for company. They're looking for you to join them in their fear. Well, I ain't got time to be scared, man. I got work to do. You know, I got things to do. So, again, we appreciate that. Next Tuesday when we come back, we'll come back with another episode. Got about 2 minutes to go here. And what I would like to do, gentlemen, if you all will permit me, is, again, thank you, Brother Shelton, for coming on and being with us tonight and giving us a very, very, very powerful perspective on this concept of overcoming fear. It begins with you. If it's to be, it's up to me. That's what you got to tell yourself. Charles, I appreciate that testimony, brother. I mean, there's some people out there, man, that I have had the occasion to talk with need to understand the essence of what you're saying. And Outcast, we appreciate your experience and your wisdom there. Because there are a lot of young cats, man. They chopping at the bit because they feel like I got to get you before you get me. You know what I mean? But there's yet hope. We got about a minute. I'm going to leave with Mighty Clouds of Joy. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. And with that, we'll see you all next Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m., Lord willing. And, again, we thank you, gentlemen, for joining us tonight. This is Talk Straight, your host, Reverend Doctor. And we're going to look forward to seeing you on next Tuesday. Follow us on Facebook and go to our website and join us there in our further discussion.
Praise the Lord. Doctor, thank you. All the time, God is